This is Digital Story Podcast number 601, September 12th, 2017. Today's theme is HDMI Out, the Untapped Resource. I'm Derek Story. I haven't shot much with my Olympus OMD EM5 Mark II since the Pen F came into my life. It's not that I don't like the OMD anymore, I love it, but the Pen F is just so sexy. So I start thinking, what could I use my OMD for? What is its special talent? Well, for one thing, it records amazing video. And it does have that HDMI port. Then it all came together. In this week's podcast, I show you the wonders of my recent discovery, HDMI Out. So when I was writing up my notes, I fondly called this section, I just can't stand my FaceTime camera any longer. It's so true. It's so true. I mean, bless it. It's a convenience, right? It's just right there, always kind of staring at you. And you don't have to hook anything up. And for, you know, quick FaceTime calls or quick Skype, it's great. You don't look very good, but it does, you know, convey the image, right? But for anything else, it's just not very good. It's just not very good at all. And I had to do something with it. I mean, for one thing, it's too wide. Also, it's dark, and it tends to distort a bit. And in all honesty, I felt like I looked a lot worse than I really do with that FaceTime camera. Yet I continued using the thing. Well, this all came to an end one morning when I was testing MIMO Live, and that's the application. It's like a TV production application for the Mac. When I was testing it with Oliver, my friend Oliver, who runs Boinks Software, who makes MIMO Live. And so I was just doing a streaming test and, you know, working the application and really getting ready for the Nimble Classroom. And Oliver is a great guy. Oliver, I think, originally is from Munich or in that general area. And very straightforward in his comments. And basically, what he said when he saw the video that I was producing with his software, he goes, "What are you using? The FaceTime camera?" I knew right away that this was not going to go well. And I said, "Yeah, I am." And he goes, "Why? You're a photographer. You have cameras. You have lights. Use them." And he was right. He was right. The problem was I didn't have any experience with streaming video, only recording to the memory card in the camera. So I was more of a go out in the field, make sure I had a big memory card in the camera, shoot my video, record it to the card, and then come back to the studio and put it in Final Cut 10 and, you know, do my editing on it. But I hadn't had any experience in terms of streaming high-quality video through the Mac to an external hard drive and then using it that way. And, of course, there are a lot of advantages to doing that, especially for things like the Nimble Classroom, where I'm teaching all day. And I'm going in and out of live action all day, and it just makes more sense to have, you know, the video stream through. Same thing with FaceTime Live, even with Skype calls, WebEx. I mean, it just goes on and on, all the different uses that we have for high quality streaming video. I just hadn't sat down and figured out how to put it all together yet. Interestingly enough, at this time, Elgato released a new product called CamLink. It's a $129 interface. It's about the size of a thumb drive. I mean, it's really not big at all. It's very light. And it converts HDMI output from your camera to USB for your computer. So on one end, it has an HDMI port for connecting to the camera. On the other end, it has a USB port for connecting to your computer. And suddenly, you can wire the whole thing together. And I was going, okay, this looks really cool. So I ordered one. Ordered one as soon as I found out about them. And it came within a few days. And I hooked it up. And I'm going to talk more about some of the details there, because there are some details. right now, just kind of give you the overview story. So I got it all hooked up, and I used it with my OMD EM5 Mark II. And the image looked fantastic. I mean, it was. I used the Panasonic 20mm f1.7, a lens that I like a lot, and the OMD and Camlink, and off to the races I went. And it's just like a whole new world here. And the video was recording, you know, directly to an external hard drive through my Mac and through MIMO Live, the application. But there's a number of applications that you can use to do this sort of thing. Recording it very high quality using Apple ProRes. Camlink can record a 1080p video up to 60 frames per second. And it just looks great. And in fact, during class on Saturday, during our Nimble classroom, at one point when we were just kind of chatting, kind of getting set up, I said, all right, let me show you the difference here. So I was on Camlink with the OMD talking to them. And then I switched to the FaceTime camera, and it was just, oh, I mean, it was night and day. It was night and day. And I'm going, this is really something. I mean, this is something, there are all sorts of things that I can do with HDMI out. I have big hard drives. I have a nice computer. I have software. I have a great camera, and I have Camlink. And so what else can I do? And that really started me down the road of exploring this port that, in all honesty, I hardly ever tapped on the computer. So what exactly is happening with HDMI out? Instead of sending the visual information to your memory card, the camera redirects it out through the HDMI port. So depending on what you're connected to, this means you can record full HD footage directly to a hard drive, stream it via Skype, Facebook Live, send it to your TV. There's a number of applications and services that you can use this port for. And so it opens up a whole new world of movie making because you're not restricted to your card anymore. You have this output that you can send to all sorts of different devices. And you're just going, wow, this is really cool. And in my case with the OMD, nothing gets recorded to the card. It just goes right straight through, just passes right straight through the HDMI port onto whatever I have that connected. So in my case, you know, the way I've been using it, as I've been setting up the Nimble Classroom and really refining how I do this online teaching, I'm using it with MIMO Live, and then at breaks and setups and all that kind of stuff, I can look my class participants directly in the eye and not have them, you know, shy away because the picture is so hideous, and talk to them and tell them stuff and show them stuff. I have a live action camera that looks really good and that streams very well. So that's how I'm using it right now, but I've already been thinking about what are all these different ways that I could use this port. And, you know, some of the advantages to working this way, instead of using a cheap webcam or FaceTime camera, is that, for example, with the setup that I used on Saturday, I have a great lens, a lens that I know, like, and trust with a 20mm f1.7. I could use the portrait setting on the EM5, one that I've used many times that I like. I just like the way the portrait setting works. I have white balance control, easy exposure compensation. I have manual focusing so that the image isn't shifting at all. If I move out of frame and move back in frame, you know, when it refocuses, I don't have any of that stuff going on. I literally have complete control over the image. And then being able to stream it at 1080p, 60 frames per second, well, you know, then you're going, this is really kind of neat. And not one pixel goes on the memory card. It's all flowing directly, in my case, to a 2 terabyte Western Digital hard drive. So what's happening is that what you're normally used to capturing and recording to a memory card now is redirected to basically anywhere that you want. So then the big question happens, okay, will your camera work with HDMI out? I lucked out with the EM5 Mark II. because it just worked. But as I started doing some more research on this, I discovered that, well, there are things where this could make it so that your camera wasn't the best choice for the scenario that I'm outlining. So I have, guess what? I have 5 points here to help you determine if your camera will work with this workflow before you invest a penny in Camlink or anything else. You'll know. So here's the first one. You have to have an HDMI port. You think that would be totally obvious, every camera would have one, but not every camera has one. Not every one of my cameras have one. And the thing about it is, you really do have to look for the label. A lot of times the label will be on the cover of the ports, because HDMI ports come in different sizes. So that's the second point. You have to figure out which size your camera has so that you get the right size connecting cable. So for instance, there's a standard HDMI port, a mini, there's a micro, different sizes. And so what you need to know is, you know, both ends of your connection. So for instance, with a Camlink, it is a standard connector on Camlink. So then I have to figure out, you know, what size port is on the camera. In my case, it's a micro. So then I have to have a cable that is HDMI micro to HDMI standard in order for that to work. Now you want to figure that out when you order your interface so that everything comes at once, because you know how frustrating it is where you're all ready to go and then you don't have the right cable or you don't have the right connector or whatever it happens to be. So figure that out ahead of time. And then the other thing that I would say is make sure that you have a cable that's long enough, because in my case, the camera is fairly close to the action because I'm more of a talking head for the Nimble classrooms. But there might be instances where I want the camera further back. So I want to make sure that I have a cable, because the cable has to connect to the computer. I want to make sure I have a cable that's long enough that allows me to do all the things that I want to do, but not so long that it's unwieldy. Make sure you have an HDMI port. Figure out what type it is, and then make sure that you get the cable that allows you to make the right connection. The next thing you want to check, number three actually, is what we call clean output. Check that your camera has clean HDMI output. And basically what this means is that you can turn off all the on-screen menu items and get full-size HD output. Because it is pretty much a pass-through. So if you can't turn off the little things that say, you know, ISO or live histogram or all that kind of stuff, then that is going to show up on your computer screen. And that's not clean. What you want is a clean image that doesn't have any information on it, any settings information or any other type of information on it. So you need to be able to switch your camera, you know, in my case with the info button, to a mode that just gives you the image. And then the second part of that is some cameras don't give you a full-size HD image. They crop it it's constrained in some sort of way. So you need to have a nice full HD image without any stuff on it. And that's called clean output. Now you can check your camera for clean output by simply connecting it to your LCD TV. I think the HDMI port, one of its intended uses was to allow us to connect our cameras to the TV so we could show stuff. Well, go ahead and do that. And if you get a clean image on the TV, then you'll get a clean image using Camlink or whatever interface you choose to use. So you do need to check that your camera allows for clean output. And if it does, boy, that is really good news. And I would say today probably more cameras do than don't, but you got to check it because you don't want to be disappointed at the last minute. The other thing that will frustrate you, and this is point number four, is automatic shutoff. Some cameras automatically shut off after a certain amount of time. It could be 5 minutes or it could be 30 minutes. And that's regardless if they're in use or not, they just shut off. 30 minutes up, we're done. Boom, off you go. So you need to check to see if your camera has automatic shutoff, or if it has some way to control the shutoff, or if it just doesn't mess with it at all and you don't have to worry about it. But it is something that you need to figure out. You might want to do a little reading in the user manual. You could do some live testing however you do it. And again, I really lucked out with this because the EM5, at least for the period of time that I was using it, never shut off on me. And that was, I guess that's a real blessing. And there are some cameras, there's no way to override automatic shutoff. So you just go, really? Well, yeah, really. So that's the other thing you need to check. You don't want automatic shutoff. You want it to stay on as long as you want it to stay on. And that leads us to point number five, which is power. So if you're going to be using the camera directly connected to the computer for video for some period of time, then you want to make sure that it has enough power. There's a couple ways to go about that. One is, will it accept an external power cable? That's probably the most ideal situation. Then you just plug it into the wall and you're set to go, and you don't have to think about it. It's not going to automatically shut off. You have clean output. You can use it for as long as you want. And so that's one way to go. Another way to go is if it has an external power grip that allows you to have two batteries, that gets you a lot of time. Because, you know, one thing that I noticed was that the battery life on the EM5 Mark II was pretty good when I was streaming video. It didn't seem to run down as fast as I even thought it would. It hung in there. I did have to change batteries once over the course of the day, but that was it. So that was pretty cool. If you do have a battery grip that accepts a second battery, then the thing that you want to test is how cleanly does it go from one battery to the other? Does it just automatically switch, or does it start giving you a bunch of warning messages? Are those going to show up on the screen while you're recording? So you need to kind of figure that out. Making sure that you have enough power for the recording session that you're about to undertake, that's a very good thing. That's a very good thing. So those are the things that you want to look for if you're considering using one of your cameras for HDMI out. Then once you determine its capabilities, then it's just a matter of how do you want to use this? What software do you want to use it with on your computer? And, you know, all that kind of stuff. And that is the fun stuff. That opens up a whole world of possibilities that, in all honesty, I really had not investigated that much. Now, just one point about the Cam Link itself, the Elgato Cam Link. And I guess this is a good point for any interface that you choose. Its system requirements are pretty steep. So it says that you need either a Mac or PC computer with a fourth generation quad core Intel i5 CPU or better. And it's not kidding, because originally I tried hooking it up to one of my Macs that had a dual core, not a quad. So the CPU was the right level, but it only had two cores instead of four. And I got stuttering. It wasn't good. I couldn't use it. So pay close attention to whatever the CPU requirements are. Then also, I guess, if it has graphics cards requirements, and then make sure that your computer can meet those requirements before you invest in any sort of interface. Once I switched over to the quad core Intel, it worked fantastic. I never had a problem. Great image, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then the other thing that the Cam Link wants is that it wants Windows 10 if you're on a Windows machine, 64-bit, or Mac OS Sierra, and a USB 3 port. USB 3 port, not a 2 port, but a 3 port. So if you meet those requirements, then Cam Link is a really nice way to go. And it will open up a whole new world for using your camera. In my case now, my EM5 Mark II, it has a whole new lease on life. It's this beautiful video camera that I'm just leaving it set up in the classroom. And then I'm already brainstorming what other, you know, kinds of projects should I be doing with this. So HDMI out is really a wonderful thing. And if you're interested in video at all, and you're interested in this kind of stuff, and you have the tools that I'm talking about, I would definitely explore it. See what you can do. If nothing else, you can have the best Skype calls ever. All right. So last week I promised you a little bit of audio stuff, and I'm going to be talking a bit more about audio off and on, because good audio makes good video capture so much better. and makes you sound so much more professional. And one of the things that I have been playing with, and I wrote an article about it, I don't know if you caught it, I think I published it about a week and a half ago or so, and it's called the Lifelike 3D Audio Recording Headset. And these developers contacted me because they're putting their project on Indiegogo, and they said, we'd really like it if you tested these out and wrote about it. So I read about it. These look really interesting. And I said, yes. And so I have been testing them. So what they have done is that they have created really a set of earbuds that sound quite good. And I think they're like 100 and right now, if you're a backer on Indiegogo, I think you can get them for like $119 or $129. But what they've done is on the outside of each earbud, they've put a high quality microphone. So when you put the earbuds into your head, then these two microphones are basically at the same distance apart that, you know, natural sounds sound for human beings listening to stuff out in the world. And then they created, and this is where the magic happens, then they created an interface that's an inline interface. It doesn't take up hardly any space at all. It's an inline interface that does the signal processing. You plug an adapter into the interface. Again, this doesn't take up very much room. This is all slim stuff. And you plug a lightning adapter into it, and then you can plug the headset directly into your iPhone. When you plug this headset into your iPhone and you start recording, it automatically records 3D audio, panorama audio. And so I started testing this out for urban shooting, and actually the video that I made, and I'll put a link to my content. I wrote a review and I created a video. I actually recorded the video in Santa Monica. That was one of the things I was doing that night when I was having all those interesting interactions. All I had to do was just plug the headset into my iPhone, put them on, and then I just launched the camera app, the photo app, on the iPhone, switched the video mode, tapped the recording button, and then just started recording video. What I got, in addition to the video, was this amazing 3D audio. And in urban environments, it's really cool because, you know, I'm holding the camera forward, right? I'm recording in front of me. But then let's say that a truck is coming up behind me and then is going to make a right turn and turn in front of me. With these lifelike 3D audio recording microphones, you hear the truck in the video approaching way before you see it. So you hear it, you know, and it gets louder and louder, and then it comes and then it appears in the frame and then it leaves again. And then you hear the sound trailing off in the distance the other direction. You don't need this headset to enjoy the audio that it captures. Once you capture the audio, all the signal processing happens with this interface that's in line. So then it's just baked into your video. So you can listen to this video with any set of earbuds and it sounds really cool. And again, like I created a little demo video so you can check it out for yourself. And I've even noticed that when I just listen to it with regular stereo speakers, it sounds great. You know, I always kind of struggled with when I capture video with my iPhone, which I like to do because it's a pretty good video recording device. I usually record at 1080p 30 frames just to keep the file size reasonable. And it's all I usually need. But I've always struggled with the audio part. And even though that the built-in microphones with the iPhone are pretty good, the minute I switched to this, I just felt like my videos got so much better because I don't even have to think about the audio now. I literally just put the earbuds in my ears and I start recording, and then whatever is happening, I record just like I'm standing there. And it's very interesting. Now, if I'm doing an interview, I haven't really tested them doing interview yet. Maybe I don't want the ambient sound. And so then I would probably switch to something that's a little bit more directional, a little bit more like a shotgun pattern. But when I'm recording a video, for instance, if I'm capturing the sights and sounds of a city or some sort of event or something, and I really want to have that immersive effect for people that are watching the video, this is such an easy way to do it. It's such an easy and affordable way to do it. And the fact that you don't have to use a special app or do anything out of the ordinary, it just makes it all the better. So I think these guys have really come up with something. So what I did was I put the link to the Indiegogo backers page in the show notes. So you can go over and take a look at it. Again, they're called Lifelike 3D Audio Recording Headset. They're about halfway through their goal right now. I'm really crossing my fingers that they make it, because if this product gets out on the market and people actually start using it, I think they're actually going to like it a whole lot. And I'm thinking, wow, even if I just want the audio, I just shoot the movie and then all I have to do is extract the audio later on and I've got this fantastic audio. So I'm still kind of learning how to use them myself. It's pretty impressive. And like I said, you can listen to my little movie and see for yourself. Just a couple updates here. First of all, I want to thank our Patreon members. And by the way, Patreon members, I have something special brewing for you. I'm working on it. And you're going to get special access to some of this video that I'm creating, this training video. And you'll get some that you don't have to pay for. And that will be only for our inner circle. I'm always looking for little ways to say thank you for helping to support the digital story, helping to keep it on the air. And I think I found something that's really nice. And all the Patreon members that are doing $5 a month or more will get this special treat. And there'll be more about it probably in the next few weeks. But I just wanted to give you a heads up and let you know I'm thinking about you and that I really appreciate what you're doing for our entire community. I also want to mention that our next Nimble Classroom is going to focus on Luminar Pro techniques. If you've been intrigued by Luminar, but you just really feel like you're not getting everything out of it that you can, this Nimble Classroom is for you. It's going to be on Saturday, September 23rd. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you how to use all these cool features in Luminar. Layers, noise reduction, just building these wonderful image files that you can come back to and continue to edit and do all sorts of stuff with. Use it as an editing extension for photos. Use it as a plugin for Lightroom. There is so much you can do with Luminar. And remember, Luminar is in beta right now for Windows also. So it's going to be available to Mac and Windows users. If you're intrigued by this app, I think it's one of the most exciting things that's happened to imaging software in a while. Join me on Saturday, September 23rd. You can sign up for this Nimble Classroom by just going to thenimblephotographer.com. Click on Classroom, and you'll see it right there. Or I'll put a link in the show notes that'll take you directly to the sign-up page. And if you have any problems at all, if you want to sign up and you have any problems at all signing up, just send me an email, Derek@thedigitalstory.com, and I'll make sure that you get into class. We'll fix you up. We won't let any sort of obstacles get in the way of you joining us for this class. Okay, so that's coming up September 23rd, a great class on Luminar. It's going to be a lot of fun. Also want to mention that our B&H and Amazon tiles that are on the Digital Story are there to help you help me keep the site on the air. So if you have something that you want to purchase at those two sites, just go to the Digital Story first, click on the B&H tile, click on the Amazon tile, then shop for what you want, and we'll get affiliate credit here, and that helps us keep the show on the go. And finally, a huge thanks to our friends at Red River Paper, talking about keeping the show going. They are the masters of it. They are more behind the Digital Story than any sponsor I have ever had. Just love working with these guys. Love using their paper. They have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. And they have a tile on all the pages of Digital Story for you to go to for your inkjet paper needs, for ink, for envelopes, glassine sleeves, tutorials, reviews on printers, you name it. If you want to get back into printing, go to Red River Paper and they will take care of you. And again, all you got to do is click on a tile in the Digital Story and that will take you there. Okay, that's going to do it for me this week. Really exciting stuff. I tell you, both the 3D audio and using Camlink with HDMI out, I feel like new worlds are opening up and they are exciting new worlds. I hope some of this is tempting to you. I'm working on some more great stuff for next week. Come back and join me. And until then, have a great week. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.